The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And if you haven't yet, please go subscribe to CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel while you're here. Let's get into it. Deadleg was at the Jimmy V Classic last night. Fun doubleheader inside Madison Square Garden. Illinois won the early game, beat FAU 98-89. Then UConn won the late game, beat UNC 87-76. It's a big night in Midtown Manhattan for the Fighting Illini. And of course, I hear we've got a special message from the ghost of Tom Fornelli. Let me have it.
Hey, Gary. It's me, back from the dead. I'm here with a special message for you tonight. I'm looking at your top 25-1, and first of all, I want to give you credit. You were about ignoring wins and losses long before the college football playoff selection committee was, so kudos to you. But I see in your rankings that you've got FAU at number 10, a team that lost to Bryant, which is 5-4, with big wins over Fisher, Howard, and Brown. That's fine. If you really like the Owls and their collection of 6'2 guards, go for it. But tonight, that team is playing Illinois, a team you have ranked at 20, despite their only loss being to Marquette and beating everybody else they've played, including a blowout win over Rutgers at the true mecca of basketball, the Rack. I'm just asking you that tonight, after Illinois beats that tiny little FAU team, don't move them up. In fact, move them out of your rankings. Stay as far away as humanly possible from my line. I do not need you cursing them again like you did last year. Thanks.
Deadleg, hit the button. You know which one. Hit the button.
Hold on. First of all, good morning, everyone. I am groggy. I am here. I got to find this button. Hold on. It's coming. It's coming. Here it is.
I was wrong.
Oh, man. Was I ever?
He buried you, by the way.
Are we 100%
sure? Wins and losses long before the college football playoff.
That's perfect. Are we 100% sure he recorded that before the game?
I cannot confirm or deny if that was recorded before the game. I really can't.
Hey, okay. So I respect it. Hey, you got to be a big boy. You got to take, if you're going to spend the whole summer talking about FAU, when they lose for the second time, and the first one was to Bryant, you get what you get. I did adjust for Illinois, though. Ask me, where is Illinois in?
Let me guess. I haven't looked. I'm going to guess. I'll blindly say you've got Illinois. I'll say Illinois 16, FAU 18. That's my guess.
Illinois is now 10 in the top 25-1. Florida Atlantic.
Let's not overreact here, Parrish.
Florida Atlantic has plummeted all the way down to number 14. That means for the second straight year, guess who's driving the Illini train? Choo-choo! I'm back. Let's go, Illini. Make me look smart this year.
My apologies to Fornelli and every Illini fan out there, including young William, who I know listens to the pod. Shouts to his dad, Will, who I saw on Tuesday. All right. You want to go chronological order with this, GP? How do you want to lay this out?
Hey, I'll be honest. When I was planning, we were going to start with UConn, but I feel like Fornelli's forcing us to discuss Illinois' victory over FAU. In fairness to everybody involved, it's a two-point game with 2 minutes to go. All right?
Yes, that is correct. So my Wednesday court report, I actually did a vignette on all four of these teams in FAU because it was the undercard and it was the loser. So it lands fourth in that list. But I do have a line in that. The game was closer than it looked. Brad Underwood even said afterward, Parrish, he's like, we shot 63%, and it almost never happens when you shoot 63% of the game and you think you need every single one of those baskets in order to win. That was really the case. Illinois pulled away at the end. It was also a rare case. This is one of those nuggets and pieces of trivia that, it would take a ton of research, so I'm not going to look it up. It was super rare. Tell me the last time two players on the same team scored a career high in the same game, and that career high was more than 30 points, because that's what they had. Terrence Shannon Jr., Marcus Domask, both had a career high 33, okay? Domask, it was shades of Jordan in the Garden last night. He was outrageous, like kind of out of nowhere, although Underwood really prioritized him in the transfer portal. He came over from Southern Illinois and said he had been playing well and shooting well in practice, and it kind of all came to be. I do want to shout Terrence Shannon Jr. as well, because I didn't get into this in the court report at all. I love the dynamic between these two players. They were the two that came up to the press conference afterward. Shannon Jr.'s like the biggest Domask fan on the planet. And it was basically saying like he had telling him he was due for a breakout game. And then there was even one point where Domask said, he said something along the lines, GP, of, I'm getting there. Sometimes I have off nights and the shot's not going to be there. And as he's just kind of explained it to the media, Shannon, as if there was no one else in the room, was like, hey, bud, don't say that, man. That ain't going to happen. Like, you're good. Like, really awesome teammate. Damn it, Fornelli's in the chat. But impressive win for Illinois. My takeaway on them and my court report angle is just purely this. We too often, and understandably so, we focus so much on the top 10 teams, the national title contenders, the Final Four contenders, as we should, and then the tire fires. I just wanted to take a step back and acknowledge, hey, by the way, Brad Underwood was courted kind of in the cover of darkness after one season at Oklahoma State. And since he got the Illinois job, Illinois has been ranked in the preseason 4 years in a row, and that had never happened before Underwood got there. It's been a top five team in the Big Ten every single season. He's had three consensus All-Americans, a number one NCAA tournament seed, has won a Big Ten regular season title, a Big Ten postseason title. They're probably going to be a top three team in the league again this season, if not vying for Purdue at the top of the table. And so I just wanted to kind of step back and say, and we'll get to FAU in a quick second here. This is a success story. This is what you hope for if you are all but maybe four or five teams at the high major level that you can get a hire like Brad Underwood. The March success hasn't come. That's the only thing. This team has not made it. We are entering Arkansas territory, GP. Last Sweet 16 for Illinois was the year they made the title game in 05. But aside from that, and that's a major thing, he has done a terrific job at Illinois, and that kind of stuff can kind of easily get lost. So I thought last night on the heels of a win, it was a nice moment to at least pause and reflect. And I do that in the court report on where Illinois fans, your program right now, you're relevant nationally. You're a top 20 to 25 program from an operating standpoint. That's undeniable. And it could have easily not been this way if you had not hired Underwood in 2007.
I did not know that Illinois was ranked in the preseason AP poll for the fourth straight year. And for the first time they've done that in four consecutive years. And it's just a reminder of how tragic it is that Fornelli didn't get to experience this.
It is, yes.
It's just, it'll never not be weird that we lost him.
It'll never not be weird that you keep killing him. Let's be real about this.
It'll never not be weird.
It'll never not be weird that you keep putting this guy in the ground.
It'll never not be weird that we lost him right when Illinois took that bad turn last season. But I know he's looking down. I know he was looking down on Midtown Manhattan last night and just having a blast up there with whoever it is you have a blast with up there. Who you think Fornelli's hanging out with up there?
Let's not. We are on a time constriction on this episode. Can we please? I am begging. Please stay on track.
Hey, It's not exactly an answer to your question.
Yeah.
But Terrence Shannon and Marcus Dumas last night became the first Division I teammates to both score at least 30 points and both shoot at least 70% from the field. Trivia time. Since when? Since when?
Is it even? Do I have any chance at this?
Nope.
What's the year? Do you have the year?
I'm asking you for the year. That's all I need from you.
Oh, you'll never get the players?
No, you couldn't get the players if I gave you both of their last names. And their school. If I gave you their school and both their last names, you still couldn't get it.
Then I'm gonna can I toss it? Here we go. Here's my answer.
You're 20 years too early. It's 1999.
Okay.
And it was, of course, accomplished by Thomas Kinney and Drew Samuels. They did it for Marist in a 119-108 loss to Niagara.
Just to Poughkeepsie. Oh, wow. Okay.
So they were losers. These guys were winners.
They were. No, they were big winners. They look really, really good. And Illinois, are you with me on Illinois?
Top. Am I with you? I got him in the top 10.
I'm saying long term. Prisoner of the moment here. Are we going to look up on March 1 and Illinois is going to be either one or two in the Big Ten?
Maybe.
Okay. I'm going to say yes.
I would say no, just because, like, right, just give me the field. Give me Purdue, and I need one other team to be better than Illinois. I would take those odds for the same reasons I would take the field over everybody in the NCAA tournament, right?
Yes.
But is it hard for me to envision Illinois finishing top two in the Big Ten? Of course not. No, not at all. They're good. They're obviously good.
I'll say it will. Your most likely candidates right now, Wisconsin, Ohio State, your unbeaten teams right now. We are so early. Indiana's 2-0, by the way. Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio State, Northwestern started off 1-0. But I like their chances. Real quick on FAU, they could have won the game. Credit to Illinois for being a closer. Vlad Golden fouling out was big. I talked with Dusty May before the game, and he had even mentioned, he's like, and they were up and they were ready for it. He was like, they got so much more size than us. And he's right. When watching that, especially like my press seat last night just happened to be baseline right next to the FAU bench. Illinois had so much more size. Like you see Terrence Shannon Jr. stand next to Elijah Martin, and Elijah Martin is one hell of a player. They have to overcome that so frequently. And it speaks to how impressive it is with Dusty May. My court report angle on FAU this morning is I credit him simply for not running from scheduling ambitiously. They still have to go play St. Bonaventure, KenPom top 100 team in the Northeast. They have to play Arizona. They obviously played the ESPN Events Invitational. The fact that we watched FAU in the Jimmy V last night, and it was the rare occurrence, by the way, where the first game was a ranked matchup, both teams. Like, Jimmy V is good every year. We don't always get four ranked teams and top 20 on the lid lifter. Credit to Dusty May for not running from this. There was a time, his first season, where he was getting these kind of games easily. And by that, I mean, he went to Illinois and he won at Illinois his first year at FAU, got paid $85,000 to do so. No high major is paying FAU to come into its gym anymore. But here's the reality of it with Dusty May. He still has to, per his contract, raise $100,000 in quote unquote buy games. So this year he did that by the likes of playing in the ESPN Events Invitational, going and playing in this thing in Massachusetts against St. Bonaventure, going and playing Arizona, Las Vegas. So he had to find creative ways to raise money for his program, and he wasn't going to get it by going on the road and playing a power conference team. I believe in FAU. They're probably going to get at least one more loss in the non-con, but I still think that team's going to wind up back in the NCAA tournament, which it has never gone in two straight years.
Right. You know, like when I watched that game last night, all jokes aside, I just went, hey, these are two very good college basketball teams. Very different. Yes, size was a factor. I think even Dusty acknowledged that after the game. But I don't look at that and go, see, FAU was, all high. They played 38 minutes, and it was a one-possession game. And then Illinois, I think, closed on like a 9-2 run, and that's how you get a final score that looks like it was a little more lopsided than – It actually was. So, yeah, Illinois up to 10 in the top 25 and 1, FAU down to 14. And after that game was over, the building really filled up and just looked electric for UConn, North Carolina. Deadleg was courtside. We'll get his thoughts on it next. First, though, one word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
So UConn
took
the floor at Madison Square Garden after Illinois was finished with FAU, the opponent North Carolina, and UConn got a big performance from Cam Spencer, 23.7 rebounds, 6 assists. They went at 87-76. Was that the right score?
Yes, it was another double-digit win, 25 in the past 26 now. Until they lose a second one, this is going to be an ongoing thing. They didn't win at Kansas to come back and respond 87-76.
Here's my first question for you, because yep. I think we all in the preseason thought that, hey, maybe UConn will have a chance to repeat. It's a preseason top 10-ish type team. A month into this thing, you have to feel better, unless you were just a UConn believer from the jump, like that's the best team in the country. You got to feel better wherever you – for most of us, you got to feel better about UConn today than you felt coming into the thing. They look great. And are they a month into the season? Do they look best equipped to repeat as a national champion as any team we've had a month into the season since Florida actually repeated as national champions? I didn't take the time to look this up. Honestly, it just sort of popped into my head. I was driving in today, but maybe one like Kansas 09 might have looked this way a month into it. Kansas last season might have looked like legitimate contender a month into the season. But, you know, I'd still take the field over UConn to win a national championship, obviously. But they look like different pieces, different team, but they look like they could do it.
Is Connecticut right now, although Kansas fans might make that argument after what happened Friday in their joint, is Connecticut the favorite to win the national title as of right now? I don't think the odds have that, although they haven't updated since this game last night. Although a result like this, I actually think furthers the cause. I think that's got to be the case. Now, if you sort the data on Torvik, and I have an update on that, by the way, Seth Davis, longtime dedicated podcast listener, he reached out on Sunday night and we had a little back and forth, and he now knows how to sort the data. At least part of the data, you know, for in-season, remove preseason bias. He is now aware of that. Seth, I'm really proud of you. You sort the data, Connecticut right now in-season, efficiency, Torvik, it's fifth. At KenPom, which is factoring preseason bias still, you cannot sort the data at KenPom.
I can.
Third overall, yeah, I'd love to see you try. Third overall, I think Connecticut is best equipped here. Okay, so 2 weeks.
I do have the odds, updated odds.
Okay.
To win the national championship.
This was as of what, Monday, Tuesday? I know it was this week they got updated.
I mean, they update constantly.
Yeah, I don't know if you get the futures that really refresh like every 24 hours, though. I'm just trying
like to... I'm on FanDuel.com right now.
All right. FanDuel
Sportsbook.
Yep.
Make every moment more.
All right. What are the damn odds?
Okay, just guess. Who do you think's the favorite to win the national championship right now?
Kansas
is plus 1,300. That is tied for third.
How about that? Tied for third. So there's two teams ahead of them?
That's right.
Okay, there's no ties in one or two?
That's right. There is a clear – I mean, there is a favorite. There is a team that has better odds than anybody else.
I'll say Purdue.
It is Purdue at plus 1,000.
That and is. I will say it should be UConn too. If you tell me it's Duke, that is brutal this morning.
I'm not going to tell you it's Duke. I'm going to tell you that it is Arizona. It's
okay.
Purdue at plus 1,000, Arizona at plus 1,100, and then Connecticut and Kansas both at plus 1,300, followed by Marquette and Houston both at plus 1,500.
That makes sense. So 2 weeks ago, I watched UConn walk into the Garden and destroy. look, how about this? My big takeaway on that, we talked about a little bit on the pod, was UConn after beating, who was it? Texas, I guess it was. It had the makeup of a team that can repeat and win the national title. Obviously, that hasn't changed. I tweeted as much on Tuesday night. But the fact that they did it, like, the Garden was tremendous last night. I mean, it really was. I'm going to be that guy. This felt like an Elite Eight game, GP.
Man, I can't tell you how many games feel like Elite Eight games.
There's so many, right?
Oh, man,
feel like Elite. That's why, if you really follow, sometimes I'll be like, this feels like a second-round game in Des Moines right now. Because sometimes, you know what? Sometimes they do. It did have Big East tournament final environment. Carolina fans showed up huge. Obviously, UConn fans were in there in big numbers. It was only UConn's second win ever over UNC in its first in 22 seasons. They did. The point that I am warming to here, Klingon is still bothered by the toe, and my court report leads on Tristan Newton, who was just okay, but Tristan Newton right now is an All-American point guard, and what he does for this team, it's just time to stop overlooking him for his overall value. And yet, here's my point. They didn't need him to be awesome against Carolina last night. Klingon is dealing with the toe. He hasn't been close to the player that we projected to be in the preseason so far. Caraban dislocated his finger. He played through it and finally got into a groove. Cam Spencer, who was unafraid of the moment, and his look, by the way, the black shoes with the white socks, you know, not an absolute Adonis out there. It just, I thought it added a tremendous element and a vibe. And yeah, like, I was sitting courtside, and he might have had a few choice words on one occasion for the UNC fan section. He showed up big, and he's not even 100% healthy, and they still did this. Like, they peeled away from Carolina. Carolina couldn't keep pace, and to me, it was more about UConn than UNC last night. But if you're UNC, like, you'd like to see a little bit more. They just didn't. They don't have that. They're not on Connecticut's level right now. You can't make that case. They were in a neutral court environment, and it was truly neutral court. Forget that it was the Garden and it was driving distance from stores. I was sitting there in that building. That was about as close to 50-50 fan split as I think. It might have been 55-45 UConn and Carolina. The emotions in the game are high. Baycott got a BS technical. Then Cam Spencer got one a little bit later. I felt like the emotion of the game, I'm not going to say it was the factor that prevented Carolina from overcoming, but I felt like UConn thrived off it a little bit more. And to me, especially after Purdue lost at Northwestern, I mean, Connecticut lost at Kansas by 4 and looked about as good as you could ask them to look in that circumstance with, you know, they're still not fully healthy. Connecticut, as of December 6th, 2023, is best positioned to win the national title. That will probably change, but I am all the way there right now this morning, GP.
I don't know that I'd make them the favorite, but I wouldn't argue with you about it if you wanted to. I mean, again, technically, we just referenced the number. They're not the favorite, but they look the part. They look capable. You know, every year, whether it's December 6th or January 6th or February 6th, you start to try to, okay, who knows who will win the tournament, but let's, like, start identifying teams that look like they got the pieces to do it. And clearly, if you're putting together a list of even maybe 2 or 3, you'd probably need to have UConn on it. And what's noticeable to me, we all talk to coaches and we've all heard them in situations where they're just frustrated with their team, or they don't like their team, or they feel like they're missing just this one piece. Like I talked to a coach who was getting ready to coach in the Sweet 16 one year. And when I got him on the phone, he was coach of a top 2 seed, headed to the Sweet 16, got him on the phone before that. And he was convinced that his point guard wasn't good enough to go any further. And that he was going to be favored in a Sweet 16 game, but he hated his point guard so much. Mm-hmm. Just could, like, I can't believe I've got to try to go to a Final Four with this guy. Like, okay. Okay.
So who was that, Coach?
I can't tell you. So, but my point is this. Tell me if you've noticed this.
Okay.
Every time Dan Hurley talks, he seems to love his team.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. No, like, that is part of it.
He seems like, and it's not just like I've got good players. He seems to love everything about them, their approach, their mindset, their swagger, the way they carry themselves. He sounds like a man who knows I've got a different team from last season, but I've got a team that is good enough to do exactly what we did last season.
And they are absolutely in it in the best of ways right now. And to that point, I did not put this part in my story on Wednesday, but I talked to Kamani Young, the UConn associate head coach, about Tristan, and I got Dan after the game last night, and I didn't put this part in, but and I'm going to paraphrase Dan here. He basically was saying, when we got Tristan here, like it took time for him to kind of a little bit of time for him just to adapt to us, because the way he's wired, he's not like Dan or Kamani or assistant coach Luke Murray or a lot of guys on the UConn roster where the emotion's always out, the volume's always up at 8 at a minimum, and they just kind of walk around with that swagger. That's not what Tristan Newton is. And Hurley told me last night, he's like, you know what, like, he's done the things we've asked of him. He's you know, the most valuable guard in America, as far as I'm concerned, which absolutely he should say that. And that might prove to be true, but he should say that as his coach. But he said, I have learned that it's probably a good thing that not every single guy on my team has my personality or even has our personality as a program. Like, Tristan is a little bit different in that regard, but it is what we need. And I would agree with that. He is a cool customer out there. And he's got a pretty stroke. And I was told that if you really dig into some of the numbers from some of these companies that are tracking stuff beyond your basic box score statistics, or even some tempo free stuff, Newton's value in terms of where he is, how he understands floor spacing, deflections, et cetera, it's among the best in the sport right now. And they got a great thing going, man. They really, really do. They have passed the test. My last thing on UConn is this. Hurley did say last night in the presser, and he's not one to like say stuff to, even if he doesn't fully mean it, but to send a message to his team. So I was surprised. He said this team is not as far along as the team last year at this point in the season. So the team that didn't lose in non-conference play. And he thinks that this team's got a good chance at being close to as good as the team last season. I'm definitely going to take him for his word on that, Parrish. I'm just telling you, I know the talent the team that had last season. What I've seen so far, I don't know. Hurley kind of tapping the brakes a little bit kind of surprised me, because I have seen nothing to indicate otherwise that this team can't be on the level of the group that he had last year. But we'll see on that. The Kansas loss is maybe the best loss of the season for any team so far. I'm really interested on that. Real quick on UNC and then it's all yours. I didn't buy them being a top 10 team. I do buy them being a top 25 team. They are definitely, like, they have upgraded this year. That's undeniable. They've got a good win over Tennessee. They had to hold on late, but they that was a definitive win. They beat Arkansas. If you've watched them play, like, there's a difference. I just wonder, Elliot Cadeau, the young point guard, I think, but we'll have to see. I think he's going to gradually progress, and by the time we get to February, he might well be playing like a sophomore, and they're going to need him to do that. But UNC is back to running. Hubert just said he needs the team to be a better rebounding team. He's absolutely right about that. They are just, they're a tier below. They are not one of the 10 best teams in the country right now. Yes, the ranking represents that, but I think the staff is aware of that as well. And they can get there, and they may well get there, but there's still more stuff they have to work on. And it can't just be, let's let RJ Davis be the central point of our offense and then play off Baycott. It's Harrison Ingram has a lot of talent. Cormac Ryan, he's going to be shooting better. So I think Tar Heel fans are still optimistic. It's a loss in a competitive environment. I would have liked to have seen him play him closer, but I am in on UNC's future moving forward. I think this team will be a single digit seed, and I'm not too taken aback about what we saw on Tuesday.
My last thing on UConn is, you know, Dan's saying, hey, publicly saying, we'll see if this team can be as good as last season's team, and that it's not as far as long at this moment. It might not be. Like, as we're saying, like, two things can be true at the same time. They look like a national championship contender. They might not be as good as last season's team, but
Keep going.
But like that, the explanation for that might be, you know, simple. They lost a lottery pick and the most outstanding player of the Final Four, right? Like, you know, you can still be a national championship contender and not be as good as last season's national champion. But they are 8-1 with the lone loss coming at Allen Fieldhouse by 4 points. And then they've got victories now over North Carolina, Texas, and, like, you know, a top four team in the state of, from the state of Indiana. So that's like, that's a pretty good resume. Through nine games, I guess you'd rather be 9-0 than 8-1, but you'd take this every single time if you're Dan Hurley after losing everything that they lost from last season's team. So the Huskies have been impressive so far this season. A school that hasn't been, that's Michigan State, lost again last night by double digits at home in the Breslin Center to Wisconsin. Is it time to start wondering if Tom Izzo's streak of 25 consecutive appearances in the NCAA tournament is in jeopardy? I'll ask Norlander that question next. First, one more word from our partners.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Wisconsin went to Michigan State on Tuesday night, 170-57. That means the Spartans are now 4-4. They have lost twice at home, once to James Madison, then to Wisconsin. They have lost neutral court games to Duke and Arizona, and their best win at this point is over Butler. Are you concerned about Tom Izzo's team? Or do you believe, and like you've already said, we're early, but do you believe that their streak of 25 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, which is the third longest of all time, and it belongs solely to Tom Izzo, like Tom Izzo himself is responsible for the third longest streak of NCAA tournament appearances in history, do you think it's in jeopardy?
Parrish, it's fair to say right now that it's in jeopardy. After being a preseason top five team and on paper, this is why they play the games, kiddos, looking like a comfortable number two in that league behind Purdue, that's not what it is. Credit to ESPN Stats and Info for this little nugget. So Michigan State is 4-4. It's tied for the worst start by any team in the preseason AP top five in the past four decades. 2003-2004 Missouri started 4-4. 2003-2004 Michigan State started 4-4, and 86-87 Louisville started 4-4. Now, obviously, the Michigan State team in 03 and 04 went on to make the NCAA tournament. They've got this ongoing streak under Izzo. That team that year went 18-12, was a 7 seed. 18-12 was a 7 seed. It was really good in the Big Ten. It went 12-4 that season, and it got promptly bounced out of the tournament by Nevada. I think Izzo's going to figure it out. Like, if I'm saying one way or the other, which way are they going, I'll say he gets it done. But the best win is at home against Butler. That at best will be a quad two win at the end of the season. They got to go to Nebraska on Sunday. That's their next game this weekend.
What a nightmare that is. Imagine you're 4-4. You got to go to Pinnacle Bank. Jesus
walk in.
Christ.
You know what? They might just walk in. So this could be coming at the exact right moment there. We'll see on that one. And then they've got Baylor in Detroit after that, and it's a huge opportunity. You got to beat Baylor. You beat Baylor, then if you don't, like, it's conceivable that MSU could be 4-6. Lose at Nebraska, lose against Baylor, and then you've got bye game opponents until Big Ten play starts in earnest in January, and then the pressure will be on because they're going to have to finish top three in the Big Ten in order to have any chance at an at-large resume. So your question was, is it in jeopardy? My answer is it absolutely is in jeopardy considering the start here. I was at the Garden last night. I didn't see any of the game. By the way, that Missouri team that also was preseason top five, it went 16-14 and didn't even make the tournament that year. So yeah, it's we don't have to venture off into Nova, but when I was watching sidelines or GP on Tuesday, the Michigan State score stood out to me. And then I know Nova, Justin Moore went down. He's got a knee injury. And then Tyler Perry hit a big shot to win it for K-State. We talked about Nova on Sunday. We don't need to redo that again. But those are the two teams that really just already had big body blows on the resume, and they took even more. MSU was especially tough because it was on their home floor.
Yeah. I don't know because you were at the Garden. I don't know if you saw Tom's post game, but
I didn't see it. I got home at shortly before 3 a.m. and I was writing the entire train ride. I didn't see a second.
Okay. So he more or less just acknowledged, like, yes, I'm shocked. I can't believe we're sitting here at 4-4. It is not, it's not something any of us saw coming based off of the season we had last season, based off of the summer that we had. I felt really good coming into this thing, and it's obviously on me. I've got to get this fixed. But yes, I am shocked that we are in this position. And Tom is one of those people who will always tell you, like, if he did see it coming, he'd say, I knew this was going to happen. I knew we weren't that good. I knew we had backcourt problems. He'll tell you. And he seems confused by the way this has unfolded so far. And he actually, because it is confusing. And I'm with you. I'm going to assume that they'll figure it out, because it is quite literally the safest thing to assume in college athletics, that Tom Izzo will figure it out. Yeah. He has, for a quarter of a century straight, figured it out. Like 25 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, and it would be 26 if we didn't cancel in 2020, dumbest pandemic of my lifetime. So I can't remember if it was after the James Madison loss or maybe the Duke loss or whatever it was, but I sort of made the same point. Like, I just assuming they'll be fine. You know, they're not fine now, but I'm assuming they'll be fine. And you get some dum-dums on social media, and they're like, blindly believe in Tom Izzo. One guy accuses me at least three times a week of having Tom Izzo's balls in my mouth. That's what he says to me constantly on X/Twitter. All right. Here's the thing. I don't even understand it. I don't think what is not smart about believing Tom Izzo will figure out how to have a competent basketball team that makes the NCAA tournament. Would it be actually stupid to assume otherwise? Eventually he won't. But like, if you just assume now for 25, 26 straight years that Tom Izzo's team's going to be all right, make the NCAA tournament, you'd be right every single time. So why wouldn't you believe that it'll happen again? Until it doesn't. Like, if there were a director out there who had made 25 straight good films, and then he was making another one, and he had actors that had been successful before, and somebody said, hey, you think the movie's going to be any good? You'd probably go, well, the guy making the movie never makes a bad one, and the actors in the film, they've been accomplished. It looks like a recipe for success. And then, you know, the season starts. And here we are. They don't look good, but I'd still bet on them getting to the tournament one way or another. I don't feel great about it, but if something happens 25 straight times and the pieces are there that looks like it should happen a 26th straight time, I'm going to assume that it will. But I'm less sure of it than I've ever been.
Yeah, offense is struggling. Three-point shooting, 27.5% for this team. They need a major upgrade. Walker, Hogard, Akins, they all got to be better from beyond three.
Well, that's the thing. They've got guys who have been good college players who aren't good college players right now. AJ Hogarth's percentages are all down. Tyson Walker's percentages are all down. This is a team, and I know it's slightly different pieces, but largely the same pieces. They shot 39.3% from three last season, which ranked third in the country. This season, they're shooting 27.5% from three, which ranks 325th in the country. And a lot of the guys who are taking the shots are the same guys who took the shots for that team to shot 39% from three last season.
It's true. I'll give credit to Wisconsin here at 7-2. It was 1-2 at one point, and it's peeled off six wins in a row. It goes to play at Arizona this year because that's a home and home. So Arizona will make the return trip next year. That's going to be just a tall task. The win is actually pretty damn valuable for Wisconsin to get out of a back-to-back from home against Marquette and then Michigan State and go 2-0. It was pretty significant for its resume. Michigan State, yeah, plenty to figure out. This loss was the most alarming because it was the second home loss of the season. The first one was an OT against a JMU team that you still haven't ranked, right?
Not yet.
But no. You still got Michigan State ranked ahead of them, right?
So I moved Michigan State up to number 7 after last night's loss. Now I got to get them out. You know, I believe in them until I just can't anymore. I could still justify Michigan State as of yesterday afternoon. You can't after this one. I mean, here's the thing. It's not like they just lost a game at home. Wisconsin led every second of that game. Michigan State was down the entire game. Wisconsin just walked in there.
Yeah.
And yeah. made it a modern day Pinnacle Bank.
Let's go easy. Let's look ahead. Just I want to acknowledge one more result from Tuesday night. That wasn't surprising. Grand Canyon won at home over San Diego State. That was a road game, one of the better environments truly in the entire sport. Grand Canyon 7-1. I mentioned it on the Sunday show. Probably going to win the WAC. So for SDSU, that's the loss on the schedule, but it could well wind up being a quad one loss at the end of it. We'll see how Grand Canyon filters out in the net. The net just debuted this week. BYU, by the way, your number one team in the net right now. Also high in the metrics. That's nothing new, but tough loss. I don't think that's going to be too damaging. SDSU sits at 7-2. Grand Canyon right now under Bryce Drew. Where are you, Bryce? Where are you? Bryce, you're 7-1. You just beat San Diego State. What do you say?
This is Bryce, and I don't care.
Okay. Well, you got Liberty on the road this Saturday. That's a toughie, and that's your Tuesday night results.
Looking ahead on Wednesday night, Texas Marquette. Shaka Smart against the Longhorns. That's fun, right?
It is. On my train trip in on Tuesday, I was wondering, I was like, okay, so we have a high major coach who is now playing against his former school, who's also a high major. Listeners, help me out here. Past 10 to 15 years in the regular season, how often have we seen this? It's happened probably because of MTE stuff.
Rick Barnes against Texas, that happened.
Correct, and that happened last season. But this isn't exceedingly common. I would love a list of how often we've seen a high major coach go up against his former school, particularly in the regular season. But if you got some postseason stuff, feel free to share it as well. It's relatively uncommon, but that is the best game of Wednesday night. Marquette gets that one at home, a really big opportunity. I can't wait to watch the game. I think it's got a great chance at being a really, really good game. I think that one leads it. What else is standing out to you? What should people be aware of here on Wednesday, GP?
Well, I don't, it's a little bit off the radar, I guess, except for maybe in the state of South Carolina, but South Carolina at Clemson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I believe that's two undefeated teams.
They've never met this deep into a season with this both records being unbeaten. They're both 7-0. They've never met, and both having played at least, this many games, a collective 14-0. It's the Palmetto State Showdown. It's a very big one, and Clemson is ranked this week. South Carolina is not. It's got a big opportunity, and yeah, it doesn't maybe have a ton of national appeal just yet because there's not numbers next to both those teams' names. But if South Carolina can go in and win in Little John, then we're really cooking with something. I would think Clemson's going to be able to get that done. PJ Hall has been outstanding so far this season. That's an 8 o'clock tip on ACC Network.
And then Thursday night, and not much, but Iowa at Iowa State. I don't know how good Iowa is, but, in-state rivalry game, those are always fun.
It's called El Asico in football. I got one more thing for you on Wednesday here, though. We got Rutgers at Wake Forest. Rutgers is expected to land Dylan Harper later on Wednesday when he makes his official college commitment. We'll see if that winds up being the case, but I think the people that have been tracking this are thinking that that's how that's going to go. If it indeed does go that way, Steve Pike will have by far the best class in the history of Rutgers. So Rutgers right now, it's kind of in the thick of it and trying to get a win on the road here against Wake Forest, 5-2 right now. But man, oh man, we're talking Rutgers soup a lot in the year to come. They got another guy, Ace Bailey, coming along, who's tremendous. Wake Forest just got Efton Reed cleared, so I would think he's going to play in this game, 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Just good news for both programs, it looks like, and they just happen to be playing each other on Wednesday. Thursday, it is just Iowa at Iowa State. Iowa coming off a completely non-competitive game. They lost against Purdue on Monday. Now they got to go play their in-state rival. Iowa State has lost two of its past three. It gets the game on its home floor. I actually think this is, for the purpose of the rivalry, it's always huge. I think there's real urgency behind this game for both of these teams. I think there's a lot that still needs to be determined with how good they are. I lean Iowa State being the better team. It's got the game on its home floor. Tamin Lipsey, if you have not seen him play yet, he's a talented young point guard, and his growth will probably key a lot of where Iowa State goes this season. I can't hear you.
I'm back.
There. Okay. You're back. I was like, is it me?
Muted myself. I've got a cough.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I'm a little under the weather. I'm a little under the weather.
It happens.
Can't believe I got a cold on the same day that Taylor Swift was named 2023 Time Person of the Year.
Did that happen?
Yes, it happened.
Taylor Swift shirt for him. There we go. Okay. Was unaware.
Unaware of what?
I didn't see that Taylor won.
Yeah, she won. Who else would win?
Did it get announced this morning? Did it get announced this morning?
Yes, it got announced this morning.
Yeah, I haven't tried. Again, I'm rolling on 5 hours of sleep, woke up, prepped, didn't check a single thing. I didn't see that.
And I've been up. Some of us have been up for like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, I went to bed 4 or 5 hours ago. So
yeah.
But I had made the podcast happen for you. And shouts to the guy who yelled, Norlander. And then he just bellows. Yeah, they said, more of us or one of us? One of those. So there we go. There we go.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry M. F. and Tigley. He's a legend. Shouts to Hook. Shouts to Larnell. Shouts to Thomas Kinney and Drew Samuels.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Marist.
They did it.
Marist. Oh, as we're getting out of here, and you got to do another show, Cliff Ellis is retiring. He's the oldest coach in the sport, 78.
I was certain he would never.
Yeah, he thought he might go wire to wire there. He is the active leader in wins in men's division in college basketball. So that is now done. Trivia time. Who's now the leader? I don't have it off the top of my head.
Who's now the active leader?
It was Huggins, and then he left, and now Ellis, and now he's leaving. Active leader in wins. Is it Barnes? To keep doing the shouts, I'll tell you before we get out.
Could be Tom Izzo.
I don't think it's Izzo.
Well, then it's probably Jerome Tang.
It's not Jerome Tang. Hold on. Here we go. I got you right now. It is. Oh wow, you got to go down the list here. I'm still scrolling. Oh, you know who it is? Per Wikipedia, Calipari. 790.
Well, good for him.
790 wins. It's Cal right now. Cal just took the mantle. Cliff Ellis was creeping in on 900 there. But yeah, it's Calipari is now your active leader. That will get officially announced a little bit later on today. We can get out of here.
Thank you guys for watching, listening. I Own College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, subscribe. Anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, more of us than there are of them. That should be reflected in the comments, and we will talk to you again on Friday when I plan to extend my lead in the Final 4-1.
Yes,
till then, take care.